With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It wasn't the one-on-one battle that we thought it was going to be last night. Denver's Jamal Murray and Utah's Donovan Mitchell, they both ran out of gas. And they were playing great. I thought it was the first player to 50 would pick up the win. But you could tell where they were running out of steam last night. It was an incredible finish there. Came down to the last second. Mike Conley had a three to win it. And the Nuggets pick up the victory as they advance. And the series was really a revelation, I think, for NBA fans who didn't know how good Murray and Mitchell were. You knew who how good Mitchell was because he's a rookie of the year. Murray kind of lost in the shadow of fellow Kentucky Wildcat Devin Booker. But that's the thing about the playoffs. You really never know who is going to step up, especially this year. Certain guys seem really comfortable shooting. We saw that last night in the Celtics game. Denver faces a tough challenge next round against the Clippers, who are prohibitive favorites. Murray won't be able to sneak up on anybody. And you know Doc Rivers is going to throw everything he can at the young Nugget star. But no one expected him to do what he did in the first round. So maybe, got a few more tricks for us as Denver moves on to the next round. This program is brought to you by the great folks at LegalZoom. Need to make it legal? Make it LegalZoom.com. You can start online. Their network of independent attorneys providing advice when you need it most. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. Yesterday afternoon, I got some information from a source. This is the same source who had the information on the Pac-12 and Big Ten shutting down their seasons. So I trust him. I trust him implicitly. And he said October 10th is the date that Big Ten teams are circling and that that's what they're hoping for. Was just told Big Ten will start October 10th if they can pass updated measures and procedures. Don't know if it will happen, but the president may have had an impact. And I said, okay. I said, you got anything else? He said, last night I was told that something was going to happen this week with the Big Ten. Same person today text me to tell me the October 10th date. They know the fall is by far their best chance. Now, there have been athletic directors and presidents who have refuted this report, but I want to, again, caution you. They have to be able to accomplish this, the updated measures and procedures, the safety measures and procedures. That's really important to understand in all of this. The reason why they said October 10th, and that's a Saturday, is they want to be involved in the BCS. Okay? You want to get into the Final Four. Wisconsin is loaded this year. Ohio State is loaded this year. This is what I was told as I followed up with why October 10th. That is the latest they can play and still get involved in the playoffs for the national title game. There are teams, this is what I'm told by my source, there are teams that want to get started right now and be in position to be in the playoffs. There are definitely other schools in the Big Ten that don't want to play. The president gets involved. The fact that there's no leadership, different agendas, makes it difficult to think they can come together. But the Big Ten has itself to blame. Playing in domes during the winter with depleted rosters in the spring for no championship is not an alternative. They have more money than anyone, and they rush to judgment. Now they're going to be watching other conferences start and possibly play a full schedule. That's all the information that I have. I'm not saying they're going to play. This is the date that they are targeting, and there are schools that won't play. And those teams, we might actually have a true Big Ten. Maybe you don't have Rutgers. You're not going to have Northwestern, maybe Illinois. And I'd probably say to Maryland, you don't need to play this year. We'll just have 10 teams, and maybe you could have a 10-game schedule. Maybe. But you want to be able to qualify, and there's a lot of money at stake here. Yeah, Paul.
So based off that, the Big Ten could come back, but not intact.
Yeah.
If there was some type of revote and it was, 10-4, 10 play, 4 don't.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But the October 10th date gives the Big Ten the opportunity to be in the playoffs. Any time after that won't work. That's why I think everybody had this rush to judgment. The Big Ten is playing. They're starting October 10th. That's the target date they're discussing right now. October 10th. If we're going to do it, this is when we need to do it by. So we got 5 weeks. Feels like an eternity. And if not, you're just going to have exhibition games. Because they're talking about, can we play in dome stadiums? You're going to have a lot of these marquee players who are going to opt out. And it's just not going to be good football. They know that the clock is ticking. October 10th. They have 5 weeks to get ready, and then they're able to qualify for the postseason. And if you have these schools that are going to start in late September, bring them back. You have an opportunity. There is a window of opportunity. The president said to Kevin Warren, who's the commissioner of the Big Ten, look, whatever safety measures you need, I will provide that. The government will provide that. The White House will provide that. There's a whole lot of pressure on some people here. And I'm not flippant. I don't mean to just throw something out there and walk it back. You have to put it in context of everything that's going on. But what I was told is October 10th, that is the key date. If they're going to play, that's when they will play. But it is a huge if. Because I don't know how many schools, I don't know what safety procedures need to be updated, according to my source, but you can bet Ohio State and Wisconsin definitely want to play. And then you throw in Penn State and you throw in Michigan, Nebraska, we know they want to play. Iowa, we know they want to play. But this isn't we're starting on October 10th, and I want to caution anybody who has run with this, this is the target date that they have. And it doesn't mean it's going to happen, because I even said to my source, is this a long shot? And he said right now, yes, because you don't have leadership in the Big Ten. And that's what the president is trying to call on the commissioner, Kevin Warren, to say, you need help, I'll give you help. And my source even said, look, this is about swing votes for the president. He understands it, and if it can help him with that, and we can also get Big Ten football, then so be it. But that's what these are things that are being discussed right now behind the scenes. And I had people who refuted when I said the Big Ten and Pac-12 were shutting things down. I had the same people who say, I didn't know what I was talking about. Or I don't know who your sources are. It's my same source who told me all this, and I trust him. And if there is an update, I'll give you an update. But October 10th is a target date. And it may be wishful thinking. But I don't know if the Big Ten's going to play this fall. I don't know if the Big Ten plays this spring. I don't know if the Big Ten doesn't play at all this year. But they are trying again, because I think what happened was when I came in that morning and I told you the Big Ten and Pac-12 are not going to play football this year, that sent shockwaves through the Big Ten. And I was told by my report that I was helping reset the Big Ten, because now the presidents were not the only ones involved. They made the decision. The athletic directors, the coaches, the players, boosters, everybody got involved. And the presidents had this vote on Sunday afternoon. And then I got the information Sunday night, came in to tell you about that Monday morning. And there were two coaches found out watching the show. And I'm sure a lot of players or families of players, they didn't know. And that's why, as much, you know, as people may refute this report in it, then the report is they have a target date. There's no guarantee they're coming back October 10th. But if they do, that's the date they've circled, because they can get a schedule in and still have teams compete for the national championship. Because that's the pressure Ohio State is putting on the Big Ten right now. Like, we can compete for a national championship. Wisconsin feels like they can compete for a national championship. But that's what's going on behind the scenes. And I've asked my source a couple of questions this morning, and I'll see if I can get some more information here on Michigan's practicing right now. Adam Schefter reported that. I'm asking the Big Ten, we got a note into the Big Ten, like what are the practice schedules here? What can they do? And I think it's conceivable in 5 weeks you could have football in the Big Ten. And imagine if you're a Big Ten fan, or really a football fan, you're going, Austin Peay is playing Central Arkansas. They don't have any budgets, but they're playing football on ESPN last Saturday night. And you have to be thinking, why aren't we playing football? How is it that high school football in Ohio is playing? The Bengals, the Browns are going to be playing. We're the Ohio State. There's 75 other schools that aren't playing. Nebraska's saying the same thing. Iowa's saying the same thing. How is it you can't play football? But Iowa State can. And I guess they're going to have over 20,000 fans at their first home game. So you're trying to figure all of this out. But I truly believe if Jim Delaney was still the commissioner of the Big Ten, Big Ten would be playing football right now. He's a businessman. Now, look, Kevin Warren, who is the commissioner, I don't know him. And he might be correct. He might be the smartest guy in the room to say, hey, I told you we shouldn't be playing football. I told you that the other conferences shouldn't be playing football. We're going to find out in a couple of months. Pac-12, they closed up shop. They boarded up the windows there. Now, nobody's talking about them possibly coming back. But the Big Ten, that is a distinct possibility. And I didn't think I would be saying that a couple of weeks ago. But now I think that the president got involved, and the president's going to continue to put pressure on the Big Ten to play football. All right, McLovin, what do you have for me today? What's our poll question?
Well, we could ask, do you think there will be Big Ten football? The three choices being this fall, the spring, or just skip the season.
Okay.
What do you think that would end up like? It feels like it would be like a 33-33-33. You know, all three seem to have some chance, except spring, you just kind of said that doesn't seem likely.
I don't think we're going to have spring football. So it's either you play or you don't play. I think they're going to give it one more shot to try to pull this off. So I'm going to say that they'll play football this fall, even though the odds are long that it happens. Just understand that. Because you got to get everybody on the same page. Do you have a revote with your presidents? And the vote has gone from 12 to 2 to 11 to 3. And that was three who wanted to play, and that's Ohio State, Nebraska, and Iowa. Wisconsin wants to play. I think Penn State would follow suit, Michigan State. Northwestern, I don't think is playing. I don't see that happening. Even the Ohio State president, Christina Johnson, said she sees a path that could lead to Big Ten football being played this fall. And she did an interview yesterday. Yeah, I agree. I can see it. There's a possibility there. But you have to have everybody on the same page to make this happen. And then take advantage of what the president is offering to make sure that you have safety on campus. There's a chance you could pull this off. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, so should I put that up now? I have some NBA options, too, if you want.
Let me do football first. I know we're going to talk basketball with Mark Jackson here coming up, but put football up there. I'm curious what the reaction is going to be with this. We want Big Ten football. I don't know if we're going to get it. So I don't know how people vote. If I'm saying you got to be realistic about it, do you think it's going to happen? Not do you want it to happen, because there's a big difference in how that's phrased. Yeah, McLovin.
But you know how people vote. It's like wishful poll voting.
Yes, it's true. I don't know how people would react after the president and what he said to the commissioner, what my report was from a source. I'm going to guess people would probably think the Big Ten will play this fall. I'm going to guess maybe the majority would lean towards they will play this fall. There's so much at stake. Yeah, there really is. But you got to have that strong leader. Says this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. I'm sure Barry Alvarez, the former Wisconsin head coach, the athletic director at Wisconsin, I'm sure he's playing a large role in this too. Because he's a smart guy, powerful guy there. But you got to have somebody who's going to lead the charge. Be the flag bearer for the Big Ten. Yes, Paulie.
This comes down to me, and I have zero sources. I have no sources, just a hunch. I cannot picture in my head Ohio State football letting themselves not play football this fall. You know that program better than anyone in this room, for sure. But that is a serious football program. It might as well be an SEC school. And I cannot picture the higher-ups at Ohio State letting this happen. And if they have to call every conference commissioner and president and get them all on the same page and then force a revote or force the Big Ten commissioner's hand, I think they're going to do so in the next week.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand what's going to happen. And I've tried to find this out. Do the presidents need to revote to play or not play? And how many does it take? Is it just a majority? What if 10 schools say we want to play and 4 say that we don't? You still going to play? And this goes back to when we were first starting out, like the embryonic stages of, is college football going to come back? Are they going to play? And I remember asking the question to the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey. Could you see where maybe you have some of the schools in the SEC coming back to play? And he didn't want to get down that road and deal with a hypothetical, but I was dealing with the hypothetical. Not every school in every conference wants to play or wanted to play. I told you that in the Big 12. Texas and Oklahoma were leading the charge, but not everybody in the Big 12 wanted to play. Not everybody in the Big 10 wants to play. Haven't heard anything about the SEC or ACC of schools that do or do not want to play and some of the other schools around the country. But maybe there's a revote, and maybe that's the start of this. But you got 5 weeks now to try to be able to pull this together, and there's going to be a whole lot of pressure from the White House. That's going to be constant.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow,
you
know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mark Jackson, the former great point guard, now running the point for NBA on ESPN and ABC. Mark, with the call last night, with the Nuggets beating the Jazz to advance, now they have the Clippers waiting for them. Mark, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How would you sum up the final minute of that game last night?
No, I thought it was thanks for having me, first of all. I thought it was a great series, a great game, and gave us pretty much everything down the stretch. You know, bad plays, big time shots. You know, and missed opportunities, but it was a great series, and it was a honor and a joy for me to be part of the call.
But you had Donovan Mitchell that I think people realized how good he is. Now, playing in Utah doesn't get primetime coverage. Jamal Murray might have been the most improved player or the biggest breakout star, I think, in the bubble. Your thoughts on what you saw with Jamal Murray?
Well, I wouldn't say he was the biggest breakout star the entire time. You know, obviously when playoffs started and what he did in that series really made him the breakout guy. He put that team on his back and made huge plays. The thing that was most impressive to me was his ability to make shots. I mean, those step back threes, those, you know, one dribble threes, those pull up threes, those, you know, coming off screen. He pretty much did everything a perimeter guy could do to give his team a chance to win, especially, and it was needed when you look at the series that Donovan Mitchell had. He was spectacular, and it really gave, you know, the Joker an opportunity to make plays down the stretch last night because he was fresher because of, you know, the load that Jamal Murray has carried the entire series.
Okay, wait, who's a bigger breakout star than Jamal Murray?
No, for the entire bubble, would you say that Devin Booker, you know, you're already giving him superstardom, or was he a breakout star?
Because didn't he score 70 points in a game?
I thought we were going to be friends.
No, we're always friends, but this is how friends act. I just slapped the floor, Mark. I'm ready to play some defense here.
I'm not used to that from you neither.
Okay. So I think Jamal Murray is probably the breakout star there.
I'm not going to argue.
Okay.
When you put the body of work and what he's done in this series alone, it was incredible. And he certainly, you know, now all of a sudden – people are embracing who he is and the talent level that he brings to the table.
You just co-signed.
Yeah, I just co-signed. Okay. You hit the floor and you intimidated me.
I was thinking about you when the passing of John Thompson. And the first time I met Mark Jackson was in the sports information office at St. John's. And I've told Mark this, so I can mention this on the air. But we were trying to get an interview with Chris Mullen. We wanted to do a feature on Chris Mullen. And they said, well, we'll give you Mark Jackson. And they trot out Mark Jackson from, I don't know, some door. He came out and said, we had to do an interview with Mark Jackson. They said, if you do an interview with Mark, then we'll give you Chris eventually. So thank you. Thank you, Mark. You were the setup, yeah, man.
Things haven't changed. He wasn't able to get a hold of Rich Miller today, so he called me.
Did John Thompson recruit you at Georgetown?
No, he did not. You know, but I'll tell you this, and I said this before. If you told me I had an opportunity to play for any coach that I've never played for in the history of sports, not just basketball because I'm a sports junkie. So any coach that I never played for, I can pick one. Without question, it'd be Coach John Thompson because I watched him, I witnessed him, not just love on his kids, but his kids love him back. His players absolutely adored him. He challenged them. He nurtured them. He taught them. But most importantly, he protected them. And you look at the – not just the – you know, at the end of the day, he wins the 84 championship and he has incredible success. That's not his biggest accomplishment to me. His yeah. biggest accomplishment is the folks that he's impacted and the folks that they have in turn impacted. That's what it's all about, being a coach and a quality man, and that'll live longer than a national championship. I was honored to compete against him and truly inspired by watching him.
Well said. Mark Jackson joining us. He is joining Mark Jones, Cassidy Hubbard. They have another Game 7. That'll be tonight, Oklahoma City against the Rockets. We'll touch on that in a moment. The chances for the Nuggets to beat the Clippers are what?
Obviously, the Clippers are the favorite, but the Nuggets are talented enough. They're well coached. They're coming off of, you know, some success of a hard-fought series against the Jazz. So this opportunity for them to embrace the challenges. But I think clearly the Clippers, with their talent, certainly the favorite. But the Nuggets have a chance. You have talent. You have, you know, home run talent. You have a chance in any series.
Who do the Lakers want to face between the Rockets and the Thunder?
I think if you're the Lakers, it doesn't matter. I really don't think it matters because if they're playing the best basketball that they could play, their talent level should beat either one of them. So I don't think you pay attention to, well, and again, I've been in this situation as a former player. You be careful who you ask for. You know, I prefer this team, and all of a sudden, you know, we wanted a hobbled New York Knicks team with Patrick Ewing out over the Miami Heat, and we got what we asked for, and we wound up being on vacation. So you have to be careful in that situation and make sure you take care of your business and you're ready and prepared.
I don't know what's at stake with the Rockets season tonight if they don't advance. But it feels like Mike D'Antoni might be coaching for his job tonight. Is that too heavy to lay on this game?
Well, that's what the streets say. The streets are talking for sure.
Streets usually right.
Who knows? I will tell you this. He's an outstanding coach. He's done an outstanding job, not just in Houston, but in his entire basketball career. It'd be unfortunate, but, you know, life goes on no matter what. And I wish him nothing but the best. And hopefully those stories in the streets is not telling the truth. But he's an outstanding coach. And this is a team that, you know, the expectations was huge for them. And hopefully, you know, for his sake and for their sake, they can pull it off. But there's pressure across the board, you know, not just in Houston, but all around this league.
Yeah, I don't know. They went all in on Russell Westbrook. They gave up those draft picks. They kicked Chris Paul to the curb. It feels like you can't bow out. Can't bow out in the first round. That feels like changes will need to be made, certainly at the head coaching position. And Chris Paul, you know, when they got him in Oklahoma City, it felt like that was just like a pit stop for him. He was going to go there, and then they were going to ship him off. There were rumors that he was going to be traded. Then all of a sudden, I think they woke up one day and go, you know, we're a playoff team here. And Chris Paul has been as clutch as anybody in the bubble. He's been awesome here. So what happened with Oklahoma City that they realized that they have a really good team or competitive team?
Well, Chris Paul at times in his history can be a, you know, somewhat of a pest. And uncomfortable to be around because of, you know, his competitive drive. And, you know, he's a guy that is extremely intelligent when you're talking about basketball. I would say even brilliant. And he challenges guys and his leadership from day one. He went to Oklahoma City, and they say that from day one he says, I don't want to be traded. I want to be here.
Yeah.
And he went on to prove himself to his coaches, his teammates, the challenges they're facing, two guards that are legit in the backcourt and having to compete against them this late in his career, forced himself into the starting lineup. And, you know, he embraced those guys and really made each and every one of them better basketball players. And it's hard to believe, but I'm sure Billy Donovan will tell you, and Billy Donovan, in my opinion, is going to be a Hall of Fame coach when it's all said and done. Made him a better coach because guys like that challenge you and force you to really know what you're talking about. You can't trick guys like that in the huddle.
I don't know if you ever heard this story, but we had Chris Webber on, and we were just talking about what kind of conversations come up. This may have been based off of Montrezl Harrell and what he was saying to Luka Doncic on the floor. And Webber said, you know, I had this moment where Peja Stojakovic hit a long three, and Gary Payton says to him, I'm going to punch you in the mouth if you take another one of those shots. So C. Webb then had to step in to, he said, I had to get crazy. I had to get crazy on Gary Payton. So Gary Payton, I mean, he says he's going to punch Peja in the mouth if he takes a shot like that.
Those, as Archie Buck and Edith Buck would say, those were the days. what you want
to
do?
Did that ever happen to you? Or, like, did you ever run into somebody who was just crazy and said things that made you nervous?
You know where I'm from?
I know.
If you're scared, get a dog, man.
And you got three dogs. You got three dogs.
Exactly. No, that never happened to me. That never happened to me. But I understand, you know, when you see a guy that you think you can intimidate, you probably go and cross the line. And, I mean, Page is a heck of a player, but there came a point in time in Gary Payton's mind where that was his go-to play to try to intimidate him, and hopefully he could accomplish the goal. But those type of things happen all the time.
But why were the Clippers doing that to Luka?
Well, I don't have a problem with them trying to intimidate him. I don't have a problem with them trying to be physical with him. I have a problem with the language that was used, especially in 2020.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable if Luka said it to Montrez. So I'm not going to accept it if it's the other way around. And I think we got to be better across the board. And I think to Montrez's credit, he embraced it. He apologized. And to Luka's credit, he didn't make it a big deal. So we live, we learn, and we move on.
Well, you remember how big it was when Isaiah and Rodman said what they said about Larry Bird. And Larry, they had to have a press conference after Rodman said if he was black, he'd be just another player. And then Isaiah co-signed on that. And that was, here's Larry going into the NBA Finals or something. He's got to hold a press conference to say basically, it didn't bother me.
Well, this is breaking news. Larry Bird would be an all-time great and a legend, no matter what color he was. So that's breaking news for you this morning.
Okay. All right. We got breaking news. Larry Bird would be good no matter what color he is. Thank you, Mark. What do you think of my Miami Heat?
Extremely well coached. Top-notch organization that has a roster full of competitive dudes that refuse to quit, refuse to surrender.
Would you tell me who is not extremely well coached? Like, everybody's been extremely well coached. Is there?
No. I'm not a guy. I'll tell you if a guy can't play, or if he had a bad day. I'll tell you if a coach had a bad day. I'll tell you if a referee had a bad
what
day.
What are the streets saying, Mark? That's what I want to know.
The streets are saying that Eric Spoelstra will be a Hall of Fame coach.
I agree.
I'm only speaking facts.
No, I said that yesterday, that okay. Spoelstra is going to be a Hall of Fame coach when it's all said and done. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So right there with you. I love this Heat team. I don't know how great they can be, but they are fun to watch, and I really feel like I'm watching a complete team.
I think, you know, when Jimmy Butler plays the way he played in game one, you know, his ability to take over the game, because they're going to need somebody to take over the game. Jimmy Butler, as outstanding as a player as he is, will he do it consistently and when it matters most? when he's got it going, he's proven to be that guy that believes he's a world beater and plays the way he played in game one. I'd like to see him take that responsibility every single night, whether it be to score or also to facilitate. At times, you know, Dragic has been the guy that they've, you know, he's carried them at times offensively, especially the role he's been on lately. But this is a team that is well coached. They understand how they're going to win. They're committed to it. They don't have breakdowns defensively. If you're going to be Giannis, you have to sprint the floor, you have to build a wall, and you have to be committed every single possession and not allow him to take advantage of his matchup where he sees bodies in front of him. That's what they did in game one. That's what they've been able to do and successful with doing every time they faced them, and that will give them an opportunity to advance. That and only that will give them an opportunity to advance, and they're committed to being locked into doing it.
Yeah, it's fun and should be great tonight with Rockets and the Thunder. How many threes do you think the Rockets take tonight, over under 45?
My goodness. I'm gonna take the safe bet and say over, which is crazy. You think about that. If you said somebody's gonna shoot 45 threes, but they are all in. They push their chips in the middle of the table. Now the question is when they're knocking them down, not just James Harden but everybody else. I don't know how you defend them. The problem is if they're missing them, do they have a plan B? At some point in time, you have to put the ball on the deck and get better shots. And then get the three-point ball rolling.
I agree.
So, it'll be interesting to see if they make the proper adjustments, whether they're hot or cold, to give themselves a chance.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad to, you know, take a layup or a mid-range jumper there occasionally, but they just won't do that. The best job opening is which team?
You're talking about the ones that's currently open?
Yeah. Pacers, Sixers, Nets, Pelicans. I mean, I could throw
there's,
in the bowl.
There's some great job openings.
You only got one. You got one choice, Mark. You can have the job.
I don't know. There's some great jobs.
Oh,
I think,
come on.
And I'm not taking the easy road out. The point is this. There are 30 of them in the world. Every single one of them are great. They're great. There's 30 of them in the world.
Is it you don't want to choose because
and a thrill.
You don't want to choose because you might be up for one of these jobs or a couple of these jobs. So you don't want to say, "Hey, I'd take the Nets." Right? Does that sound correct, Mark?
No, what sounds correct is I'm a graduate of St. John's University School of Communication. there are 30 incredible jobs in the NBA.
Did you graduate?
Being a head coach.
Did you graduate?
Yeah.
You did. Okay, I'm just curious.
Shots fired. Okay. Okay.
I'm just curious. I barely graduated, but I'm really surprised you did graduate.
I'm surprised you barely graduated. I thought it was even worse than that. I thought later on in life when you were accomplished, you went back and, you know, paid some money for it. What school was that again?
University of Dayton. I was Prop 48.
No wonder you're even more grateful for Big John Thompson.
That's why John walked off the floor.
For you.
For me. My intramural team.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll be listening. You give a shout-out to me tonight if you want.
Who knows? You never know. That could happen.
Yeah, just give a shout-out. Just say, you know, I'm talking to one of the smartest basketball guys I've ever been around and a great shooter, Dan Patrick, earlier today on his show.
You know how fortunate you are that St. John's brushed off Chris Mullin and said, you know, we're going to give you Mark Jackson that day a long time ago?
Chris is really happy that he didn't have to do the interview. So, but I got to meet you. And then who would have known that we would have a 30-year friendship?
Time is flying, man.
Yeah,
but
I know.
It's an honor.
I know.
And you continue to amaze and do incredible work.
Well, I'm well coached. Have fun tonight.
Thanks, man. Good talking to you.
That's Mark Jackson. He'll be on the call tonight with Mark Jones, Cassidy Hubbard.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I want to play something for you that happened, I think this is Lincoln, Nebraska. This is at the city council meeting. And really, this was a very, very serious tone. And I don't like getting political. I try not to. But this is a cause that I think we can all get behind. And this is how it played out at the Lincoln City Council.
Lincoln has the opportunity to be a social leader in this country. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning and treating things as though they're normal. I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... I propose that we as a city remove the name boneless wings from our menus and from our hearts. These are our reasons why. Number one, nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. We would be disgusted if a butcher was mislabeling their cuts of meats, but then we go around and pretending as though the breast of the chicken is its wing. Number two, boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected. And then number three, we need to raise our children better. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. We need to teach them that the wing of a chicken is from a chicken, and it's delicious. I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash. We can take these steps and show the country that where we stand, and that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long, and we know it because we feel it in our bones.
Thank you.
Once again, I don't like to get political, and I know people are going to pick sides, you know, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I couldn't stay silent any longer. Yes, Paul.
And he's not an extremist. He's not saying get rid of boneless wings, which I'd be in favor of. He's saying just get rid of the name and embrace wings.
Call it what it is. That's what he's trying to say. Like, there's not truth in advertising there with boneless chicken wings. I don't know how we can help, but I'm willing to put all of my power behind this. This is the social cause that I want to stand for.
Saucy nugs.
I love saucy nugs. I might have been called that one time in high school.
How did he make it through that without cracking up?
Well, no, my favorite is when the guy starts laughing and then he turns around and he goes, hey.
He's like, yeah, hey.
A little respect.
Trying to do something here.
City council.
Yeah. Hey, come on.
Just wonderful.
Oh, that's great. That's great stuff. Saucy nugs. Saucy nugs. Yes, Todd.
You think he wasn't interrupted and allowed to go all the way to the end out of fear that this guy must be a little wacky to actually bring this to the council? We better let him just continue talking. Who knows?
Todd, now that's a patriot right there. He's a true patriot.
For the kids.
Yes. It's about the kids. He's saying it's about the kids. And saucy nugs.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Brian Scalabrine, the White Mamba, Celtics analyst for NBCSN and co-host of Scal and Pal's daily podcast, joining us on the program after the Celtics go up 2-0 on the Raptors. Surprised, Brian?
Yeah, actually, I really am. I thought the backcourt of the Celtics, you think about Brown, Tatum, Walker, I thought those guys would have a good series. I thought they would be a lot better than the Toronto backcourt. But I really thought that Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, former defensive player of the year, these guys are champions. I didn't think that they would be outplayed by Robert Williams and Daniel Tice or even Grant Williams for that matter. And the Celtic bigs have really done a great job. And Marcus Smart really won that game. His contributions offensively are always a bonus in Boston. And he's shooting the ball like that, man. It's going to be a long series for Toronto.
What about Gordon Hayward's availability?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play this series, Dan. I think the best guess is for him to play into the Eastern Conference Finals. There's also another caveat to this. I think his wife is having a baby. She's due around mid-September. So even if he was to get back, you know, the bubble is a really interesting place because you don't just walk on campus and all of a sudden be cleared to play. There's quarantine and stuff like that. He would have to leave for the birth of his son and then have to get back and do the whole quarantine all over again. So I'm not sure he'll be in the series. I think for the Celtics, is looking forward, moving forward to if they get past Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals.
We brought this up a couple of weeks ago, and I said, if you're looking at the young tandems in the NBA and you look at Tatum and Brown in Boston, you look at Luka and Kristaps in Dallas. I don't know if there's another one that comes to mind. We talked about Embiid and Simmons in Philadelphia. But if you were going to pick the best tandem out of those three teams.
You know, I think I would go with, you know, I really like Luka. I think he's going to be an all-time great player. I just don't think that Porzingis with the injury history is good enough. So I think I would take the versatile wings of Boston because no matter who you put around them, those guys can defend multiple positions. Jaylen Brown can guard a 1-4. Jason Tatum, with his size and strength, can guard a 1-4. So it would be easier to build a team off of having two versatile wings that can shoot the ball, score it, and defend their position. So I would go that direction. One interesting caveat of this would be Giannis and DiVincenzo. I don't know. Giannis is such a dominant force.
No. Dante DiVincenzo, no.
Well, I just had to throw someone in there that was young, you know. But no. With Giannis is such a dynamic player that, and he's so young as well. But no, I think the Boston, it would be the easiest team to build around if you had Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. It'd be the easiest way to build a championship team because you could add pretty much a lot of different pieces to that, and those guys would fit in.
How long were you on the Celtics with Paul Pierce?
5 years.
When did you start to understand or realize that he really hated LeBron James? Or there was a real issue between those two?
Yeah, I think so when I got there, we weren't good the first 2 years. And I think as soon as Kevin Garnett got there, it became, and we don't get this a lot in today's NBA, it became us against the world mentality. Like, you either are with us or we hate you, you know, like, and so I think that's when this whole thing started. And I feel like Pierce was having Garnett behind him. It made it a much different fight when you're fighting going against LeBron. Before that, I mean, it wasn't, we just weren't very good. I mean, it was hard to have that rivalry with LeBron if you're not matching up in the playoffs.
But Paul still has a problem with LeBron.
That's old school generation. You know how that is. I mean, Michael Jordan still has a problem with Isaiah Thomas. So it's just the way it was back then. No one's hugging it out.
Yeah, but LeBron didn't do anything to Paul Pierce except for beat him.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I can't think of anything in particular.
I mean, Isaiah may have kept, or, you know, Mike and Isaiah, they had that feud, they beat him up. And then Mike says, I don't want you on the dream team. Or that's deep stuff. I don't know if Paul Pierce and LeBron ever had a moment where, because it really bothers LeBron. He won't even acknowledge LeBron. I think Paul doesn't acknowledge him as a top five player of all time.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It does. And I think Paul's a good analyst. That does seem a little sour grapes. Maybe there's the Ray Allen element to it. I don't know. But you're right about that, Dan, because even like Magic and Bird, as much as they disliked each other early, they were cool with each other. And now as retired players, and I know LeBron is still playing, but Pierce is past that. You would think that they would be all good with it. And Pierce would recognize, you know, the duel or, you know, how great LeBron is. But that's a good point by you.
But what happened with Ray Allen? Was it just because he went to the enemy and he joined LeBron and that was it?
Yeah. I mean, Dan, you know how the old school guys are, man. But well, first of all, another thing about the NBA back in the day was people found reasons to hate other people. It wasn't the opposite where they inherently like them to begin with, and then they find reasons to hate them. Like initially, you just found reasons to create, you know, I guess drama or a controversy. But you know who's the best at that, as you saw in The Last Dance? Michael Jordan. All he looked for different random reasons of why he can end up hating somebody. And insignificant people at times, but that's the old school way. I think Garnett was like that. Pierce was like that. Jeez, Kendrick Perkins is like that. There's a lot of guys that are like that.
He's Brian Scalabrine, the White Mamba, the Celtics analyst for NBCSN Boston. Did you ever talk to Kobe since he was the original Mamba, the Black Mamba? Was he okay with you being the White Mamba?
Yeah, so he sort of quote unquote endorsed me on Twitter, and that was it. So I like he came out on social media. I followed like a week later, kind of with a pun tweet. Like he said, the antisocial goes social. I said, this Mamba waited longer than that Mamba, and he hit me with a welcome to Twitter, White Mamba. And I went from like, Dan, I went from 4,000 followers to 80,000 followers in like 4 hours. I couldn't believe it. So, and then on the last game, you know, we had a cool little moment where, you know, like we did the whole shake and pound and we went on our merry way, unspoken.
Hug.
Bro hug.
But you never got isolated on him, did you? Like, did you guard?
Yeah, actually, good. I always bring this up because when you can prepare for NBA players, you can watch their last 50 clips. You can just ask the film guy and they'll deliver it for you, right? And it was amazing. Most guys, they do about 5 to 7 things. Most people, you know, and there's all about the same move. I watched Kobe's last 50 makes and I think it was 45 different shots. And then I told the film guy, I need another 50 makes. And I think it was another like 40 different shots. Then we got in the game. I guarded him. And I think he went left, 1 foot runner. And of his last 100 makes, I didn't see that shot taken once. He just had such an arsenal of different ways to beat you. I think he was probably the greatest shot creator or tough shot maker to ever play this game.
But how often are guys watching film?
Oh, a lot.
Regular season.
It's so easy. Dan, it's like for you to watch a guy's last 100 makes, it takes around 15 minutes. It's amazing what you can learn in 15 minutes when it's cut up for you, not when you have to watch an entire game and Kobe would take 25 shots in that game. No, I'm talking about you can get the last 2 or 3 weeks, matter of it's really easy to prepare that way.
But do players have tells? Like a pitcher can sometimes, you know, he can be telling you what the pitch is without even knowing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, remember a great scorer, Tracy McGrady?
Yeah.
Tracy McGrady had about 3 or 4 things that he did, and they all sort of set up the same way. And it was amazing when you study it and you see it and you're in the game, how much everything sort of slows down.
But you couldn't stop him.
No. You couldn't stop him, but you could get back into his airspace a little bit quicker. Listen, Dan, I wasn't going to stop anybody anyways. It just gave me a better chance of stopping him.
What was your proudest defensive moment?
NBA Finals, Lamar Odom. He's destroyed us at every end of quarter in 2010. And Doc Rivers, I haven't played in like 2 months. Doc Rivers, for whatever reason, put me in the game. And I had to pick him up full court. I turned him a couple times. I made him like semi turn it over, and we got a stop. And he had destroyed us at the end of quarters. It was Rasheed, Garnett, Big Baby, whoever was out there. He has got to the basket, and that was probably like my greatest defensive stop in obviously game 7 of the NBA Finals.
If the Rockets lose tonight.
Wow. You know, what's funny is they gave up so much to get Russell Westbrook, and they gave up Chris Paul. And Chris Paul has been unbelievable for Oklahoma City. They got assets, Oklahoma City did, and they go all in on this duo. And if it doesn't work, I don't know what happens to D'Antonio. I don't know what happens to Daryl Morey. I don't know what happens to the Rockets. Remember their owner, Tillman Fertitta. He's in the restaurant business. As you know, right now, that restaurant business is not doing well. So I think a lot of things are come into play based off the outcome of this game.
Yeah, I wonder. It feels like Mike D'Antoni is coaching for his job tonight. I think it's...
I'm not sure he wants to be there, Dan. I'm not sure. It might be a two-way street. It's a one-way street where the guys don't want him back. I'm not sure he wants to be there.
Why?
I don't know. Because when they offered him the $5 million extension, he just turned it down. He said, like, no way. Like, no problem. Plus, there's been links to him being in Indiana. Then they got rid of Nate McMillan. And right away, the name you hear is Mike D'Antoni. Maybe he just wants to change the scenery. You know, in coaching, it's not always like, this is a bad coach, this is a good coach. Sometimes timing comes into play. Sometimes your voice grows stale and you just need a new guy to come in. No disrespect to that coach and the next coach coming in might not even be as good of a coach as Mike D'Antoni, but it can work because it's new and it's fresh. And I think that happens a lot in the NBA.
How often did Doc Rivers yell at you in Boston?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, not on the championship years. I was like the 13th man, the 12th man. It was more about, you know, I'll tell you one thing Doc did every year is he would sit the team down somewhere 5 or 7 games into the season and establish everyone's role. Your role is this. Your role is this. Kevin Garnett, we need more from you. Ray Allen, you need to do this. Paul Pierce, you need to do that. And I've never seen a coach or been a part of a coaching staff that just was so direct like that and calling guys out and saying, this is what we need from you and we all need to sacrifice. And that team, and Doc has the biggest pulse on his team more than any coach I've ever been a part of. He understands what players are thinking during the course of an 82 game season or a playoff run or whatever it is.
Well, what was your role? Did he say, and no. Brian, I need.
No, just catch and shoot. Like he would make it simple and then he'd move on to the next guy. So it wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't. I think it was more about telling, you know, Dan, there's a lot of money at stake with NBA players. And to tell a player you're not going to do X, Y, and Z, we only want you to do one thing. You're getting that player to sacrifice, you know, the greater good of his own financial rewards. And to get a guy to do that and to have you run through a wall for a guy that's asking you to make sacrifices, that's not an easy thing to do.
So you made sacrifices that
I was just happy to be there. I was just happy to be there.
And Garnett would always – he was such a great trash talker, wasn't he?
Him and Pierce together were the greatest duo of trash talkers. They would play off each other. They would have – it would be like if me and you were talking and we were talking about a guy who was sitting like, you know, 2 feet away and we were talking about how like that person shouldn't even be here right now. I don't know why he's on the show. How does he have a job? How did he make it in this world? Like what were your parents like? Me and you communicating about this guy – And it took, sometimes it takes NBA players a while to realize, like, wait a minute,
they're talking about me. Right now. Well, Tim Duncan would always tell me that Garnett tried to get in his head, and Tim drove him crazy because Tim wouldn't allow Kevin Garnett to get into his head.
Correct. And I'll tell you another guy, Dirk Nowitzki, he would never back down from Garnett. And I like how, like, a lot of players would melt, and Dirk would bring it his level up when Garnett would start trash talking to Dirk.
Would he say to Dirk?
I don't know what they were, when they were guarding each other, what was being said, but I know, like, Dirk was about that life. He was like, he liked the challenges of, you know, the 82 game grind. Kevin Garnett comes in, and, you know, it's not just a normal game on a Wednesday night. Like, Kevin Garnett made the level higher, and Dirk, it woke Dirk up saying, like, all right, I'm about this. And I will say this, early Dirk was very different. Like, once he lost to the Warriors, I think he became a different guy, and he was, like, very tough to stop, very mentally tough, very he wanted the smoke, as we would say in the NBA. He was about that.
Good to visit with you, Brian. Appreciate you joining us. Hope you're well.
You got it, too. Be safe, Dan. See you.
That's Brian Scalabrine, Celtics analyst for NBCSN in Boston. And the White Mamba, he's got a podcast called Scal and Pals.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, Fritzy got his bagel, got onion bagels. He's making his bagel out there in the kitchen. I got his favorite cream cheese. So everything is good. He was in a bad way when he couldn't get his onion bagel the last week. So we got him some onion bagels, and he's actually putting it together. It's pretty amazing. I don't know if he's used a toaster before, but Todd is, if you're watching on Peacock, you're going to see Todd putting the schmear, as they like to say. Oh, he's actually eating the bagel. So I don't think Todd's coming back yet. Yes, Seton.
Yeah, I don't blame him. It looks like he goes bite for bite with the... He applies cream cheese
to each
with
bite.
Each bite.
Individual bite, yeah. Yeah.
Which is interesting, too, because then he's sticking that same knife in there. So that tempty is just his, because he's essentially double-dipped five times now.
Yeah. Final results of the poll question there, McLovin.
Okay, whose career would you want? Keanu Reeves, Liam Neeson, or Bruce Willis? Keanu wins. Bruce Willis second, and nobody voted for our guy Liam Neeson, but he's going to get them back because he has a particular set of skills.
Okay, those movies bother me.
What, Taken?
Yes. Taken bothers me because, first of all, he doesn't seem like a good parent. And there's one, I don't know which one it is, where he is on the highway and there's 50 car crashes and no one dies. Like, it's just, they're just all these car crashes. And he's always losing his daughter. Like, if my daughter was going over to have a sleepover at his daughter's house, I'd go, no, no. If he shows up at the door, I go, no, no, you're not going to stay over here. Something bad's going to happen. Yes, Paul.
And in the first Taken, he, you know, burns a bunch of Albanian guys. And for Taken 2, he takes a family vacation, not to Wisconsin Dells. He goes to, like, Kazakhstan. You take a family vacation, you're an international target. Hey, how about going down to, Branson, Missouri or something? Yeah. Somewhere safe.
Todd, how was the cream cheese, the bagel?
It was fantastic. The onion bagel was great. Thank you for the kindness. The tempty cream cheese was the perfect way to go with that bagel. I'm very happy.
Well, great. I'm glad, because you were in a bad way.
I wasn't a bad way. I'm in a good way now.
That's good. I'm glad.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.